Thank you.
Thank you, Stacey. Round of applause for Jesus as well, eh? Yay! Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for what you've done for Stacey, for what you're going to do for us. Who wants to be changed by God? Me too. We want to become more like Jesus. We want to be filled with the Holy Spirit and do what he did. Follow him and do what he did. To do what he did, you've got to experience what he came for first. That's a vital ingredient of Route 61. I'm sure when Stacey gets up and sings the praises of Route 61, you know she's singing the praises of Jesus. Route 61 is Isaiah 61. And Isaiah 61 is just the description in Scripture of what Jesus came to do. It's him that heals the broken hearts and sets the captives free and renews our minds and delivers us from past hurts and hang-ups. It's him that fills us with the Holy Spirit, gives us a revelation of the Father's love. Why does he do that? It's because that's who he is. And that's what happened for him. Jesus had his own revelation of the Father's love. His own filling with the Holy Spirit. Let me read you a little scripture. Vital scripture. Me and Margaret are going to share with you tonight about the Holy Spirit. This is a real night of Route 61. It's not a warm-up. Are you ready to be filled with the Holy Spirit tonight? Everything starts with the Holy Spirit. You know that, don't you? You can't go on any journey or go anywhere with God without the power of the Holy Spirit. Genesis 1, creation itself, life starts with the Holy Spirit moving. The early church starts with the Holy Spirit moving. Jesus' ministry starts with the Holy Spirit moving. This is what it says. Mark chapter 1, verse 9, I think it is. I can't see with my glasses off. But at that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. As Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven open and the Spirit descended on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." Jesus went into Nazareth. I had the privilege quite a few years ago of going to that synagogue in Nazareth. They build synagogues on synagogues, so it's quite easy to find it. They just dug down to the level of the time when Jesus was there. And it's quite amazingly intact, actually. The roof is there. The walls are there. You can go down quite a few steps and enter into this, the synagogue at Nazareth. It's still there. You can visit it if you ever get the chance. About half the size of this room. It's phenomenal for a believer to go there. We went with a group from our church. And Pete Conroy read out at the front, Isaiah 61. You could hear a pin drop. The presence of the Holy Spirit was there. It was absolutely awesome. We stood right where Jesus stood when he read out that scripture that described what he came on earth to do. It was his manifesto. It's the only place, two places Jesus describes what he came on earth to do. One in the words of scripture, Isaiah 61. One in his own words, where he said, "The Son of Man came to seek to save the lost." And Jesus starts with the Holy Spirit. He says, he finds the passage and he says, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because he's anointed me." That's where everything good starts. Few of you have been believers for many years. I'm sure that's something you can testify to yourself. That's where good things start. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me. And how can you get the most out of Route 61? There's a few things you're going to need. How can you be really filled with the Holy Spirit? There's a few things you always need. Number one, humility. Humility. Water always finds the lowest place. And if you know you need God, you're a wise person. If you're just rolling onto Route 61, then it's time to wake up tonight and realize that something significant is going to happen in your life. And don't miss it. Don't do what quite a few people have done, which is said, "I sort of got halfway through Route 61, then I realized this is absolutely awesome. This is significant." And or some people have gone right through Route 61 and then done it again. And as they start to do it again, they've really got impacted. Or some people get a few things and then do it again and then do it again. And Quite a few of us have done it a few times. One thing you're definitely going to need is humility. Like Jesus. Is Jesus humble? He sure is. Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit, partly through humbling himself. John the Baptist was preaching. There was a great revival going on. Thousands upon thousands of sinners were gathering to hear this fiery preacher of repentance. And the religious folks were there as well, standing on the banks, watching John, judging John. That's what religion does. Maybe you're quite religious. Maybe you've come from a religious background. May God set you free over the next few months from that. It's a terrible thing. Religion always makes you proud. You look down on other people. You suss things out. You're the judge of everyone in every ministry. Maybe that's one of your weaknesses. God will deliver you in this course if you're wise and humble yourself. The religious were judging John and watching John, but the wise sinners, the real sinners, weren't judging John or watching John. They were listening to John. And they were wise enough to confess their sins publicly and humble themselves and get in the sinner's queue with the prostitutes and the adulterers and the thieves and the liars and oh, who's this? Who's this in the queue? Jesus. Jesus, he's not stood up there with the religious. Jesus is humble enough to be in the queue with the sinners. Amazing. He humbled himself. When John the Baptist saw him coming, he said, "No way, let's reverse it. You baptize me." Jesus said, "No. Let it be like this. This is right. Let's do it right." Jesus is incredibly humble. To get the most out of Route 61, you need to be humble. To be really filled with the Holy Spirit continually, you need to stay humble. Water always finds the lowest place. The first thing you need is humility. Please don't come on Route 61 thinking, "I've heard all this before." You probably have. It's not about that. It's not about hearing something new. It's about becoming new, being renewed, and becoming people who are prepared for revival. Before we began this church, I had a vivid dream. I dreamt I was in a cave looking out. And I saw green grass. It was totally dark around me, but outside there was green grass and the sun was shining on it. And across this grass was coming people. Ones, twos, threes, families, groups and groups of people coming to the cave. I knew in my dream it was the cave of Adullam, David's cave. If you know that story, you know the people who came, the people who were drawn around David, were in debt, were depressed, were broken people. Sounds like Amazing Grace Church to me. Not big heroes and superstars, but actually people who were sick of life and sick of themselves and sick of the nation. They were drawn to David. Jesus is our David. And they were gathered round him in that cave. In that cave, they became transformed. They became changed. They became trained into the most significant fighting army Israel had ever had. They ended up running the nation. We like watching, at the moment, we're watching, what do you call it again? West Wing. Where, you know, these group of people who are all just friends running for this party end up running the United States, getting in the West Wing and becoming president and running the United States. That's what happened to David. David is a nobody. He had all sorts of people gathered around him who were actual wrecks. Their lives were wrecks. So if you feel a bit broken and a bit defeated and a bit stuck, you're in the right place. You're in the right church. Join the club. So are we. But we are absolutely committed to being drawn to Jesus and being trained, ready for revival. We believe we're going to become an army that will affect the nation and be part of a big revival across Europe. I believe that's why you're in this room. I don't believe you've been persuaded to come here by men. I don't believe in accidents. I only believe in sovereignty and God's selection. you find yourself here, you're being drawn by God, and the first thing I'd say to you is you want to be trained to be God's army, it's a new day. Forget the past. I'm doing a new thing, says the Lord. All the wonderful stuff you've learned is wonderful, but if you can't learn and relearn, then you're proud. Open your heart and be humble and listen. Maybe you'll be listening to people who are younger than you, so what? Maybe you'll be listening to things you've heard before, you feel you know. Listen again. The Holy Spirit is moving here. Lives are being transformed and you can be part of it. The humbler you are, the quicker you'll catch and be filled with the Holy Spirit. I love the story of John Hyde, became famous praying Hyde. He had lots of experience as a minister. And after he'd been a pastor for years, he decided to become a missionary. And he sold everything he had, sacrificed his whole life, and was going to India as a missionary. As he was getting onto the boat, two of his parishioners, a couple of old ladies, said to him, "We're continually praying for you, John, that you will be truly filled with the Holy Spirit." Or they wrote him a letter and gave it to him. He opened it on board. He was offended. He said, "How can they think I'm not filled with the Holy Spirit? I'm a man of God. I'm a pastor. I'm this, I'm that. I'm a missionary. I've given up everything for God. How can they say not?" And he rolled it up, scrumpled it up and threw it in his paper bin and went upstairs on deck. He was a man of God, and when he calmed down a bit and could have the wisdom to listen to the Holy Spirit, he thought to himself, "I wonder how filled with the Holy Spirit I really am to react like that." So he went back down and went in the paper bin and unrolled that letter and read it again on his knees in his cabin and asked God, I hope you're going to do this tonight, asked God to fill him more fully with the Holy Spirit. And when he got off that boat, he wasn't John Hyde, he was praying Hyde, and he saw revival everywhere he went in India. Incredible revivals. I want to encourage you to be humble. That's the first thing. And the second thing, before I pass over to Margaret, is this. I want to encourage you to take steps of faith, to move. When Jesus put himself in the right position, heaven opened. That's one of the things you'll experience on Route 61. You'll experience heaven open. You'll see visions. You'll dream dreams. The eyes of your heart will be opened by the Holy Spirit if you let him. As you're healed, as your heart's cleansed and healed, as you're free from issues of the past, you will be open, more open to the Holy Spirit, to seeing heaven, hearing from heaven, understanding heaven, being part of what's going on, part of God's agenda. You'll be connected to heaven more. That's what happened for Jesus as he humbled himself, as he was baptized by John. Didn't need to be baptized. He wasn't a sinner. But he humbled himself, was baptized with the sinners. As he came out of the water, heaven was open. And the voice of the Father spoke to him. That's something else that will happen for you in Route 61. His identity became utterly crystal clear. The devil ran in to challenge it because he knew that was a key for Jesus' success. "You are my son." Wow, if that happens for you in the next 3 months, you'll be transformed. If your identity issues are vital, Andy touched on them already. Our identity is so often around what we've experienced or what church we've been from or our job or who we are. Actually, only God can tell you who you really are. Only God can. He created you. He needs to say to your spirit, "You are my son, daughter." And receiving the Father's love is a key part of Route 61. And the devil ran in with Jesus to challenge that straight away. "If you are the Son of God," because he was terrified. It's a key thing for you. If you take a step of faith, heaven will be opened. You hear the Father speak to you. And you'll receive the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God that was manifest in such tremendous power for Jesus. Demons out, the dead raised, the sick healed. Yet, he came so gently. We can't dictate how the Holy Spirit comes. He comes how he wants, when he wants, how he wants. Like a dove, gentle, pure, gentle, pure. You ready to receive the Holy Spirit tonight? Let's open our hearts. Margaret, will you keep going?
Thank you.
Round of applause for Margaret.
Good evening. Good evening, everybody. A while ago, maybe about 2 years ago, our children were in this orchestra and they were doing this performance. And the performance was in this Catholic church. You might know it. It's St. Joseph's Catholic Church. And in the church, there's... I went this particular evening to listen to Rebecca, and I think Faith was there. And I was just sat listening to all this music, which was lovely, you know. And I was just sat listening to it. And at the time, my heart was sad and struggling. And I was just sitting there. And I'd been in this church many, many times to lots of these musical events and other services and everything. And the funny thing was, I was sat there at this particular time listening to the music. And all of a sudden, I found myself... my head, like, just going up like this, lifted up. And up, I looked up, and there was the cross right above up my head, the cross. And on the cross was Jesus. But he wasn't crucified. He had, he was, like, in his glory. I don't know whether you've ever seen, like, a crucifix like that. Not Jesus crucified, but it's actually, they call it, like, Christ the King, you know. The cross is there, but Jesus is actually in a robe. And he's glorified. And I was like, whoa. I was just like, and literally for a couple of minutes, I was looking at this cross and thinking, I can't believe I've never looked up and seen that cross. And I was just thinking about Jesus on this cross and thought, that's actually who he is now, you know. He was crucified, but actually now he's the King. You know, he's glorified. And I think... and for us, he wants us to know that tonight, you know, that he's crucified, but also that he's glorified. He's Christ the King. And I came away from that church with my children, went home, and Martin was at home with the other children, and he was in the bed with the little boys. And I walked in the bedroom, and he said, did you have a nice time? Did you enjoy the music? I said, oh, yeah, it was awesome. And he said, and did you look up and see Christ the King? I went, whoa. And it was a bit spooky, really. I said, how did you know? He said, I prayed. So he prayed for me because he knew my heart was sad. He said, you know, bless Margaret. He said, I pray that she will look up and see Christ the King. I mean, it's just how much God loves us. I mean, Martin, he said he'd looked up at that cross many times and seen Christ the King. And he knew it was there. But funnily, I'd never looked ever till that moment. And I said, oh, it was God. Because I just felt my head being lifted up and just looking at the cross and Jesus glorified and Christ the King. And for us, he wants us to look up. You know, your heart might be sad. You might have lots of things there. But just to encourage us on this first evening, you know, to lift your head and look up and see Christ, not just crucified, but also glorified, Christ the King. So I just wanted to encourage us first with that and to encourage us that God wants to meet us, you know, and have a relationship with us every day, and he wants to meet us where we're at. And I was thinking about, you know, the idea of Route 61, how it's a receiving a course. And it's a challenge sometimes to receive, but God wants us to know that he is a giving God, you know. That he gave himself, you know. The Father gave Jesus for us. And he gave us his Son, his only Son. And the Father gives us his Holy Spirit, which is awesome, really, you know. And Both of them are beautiful, wonderful gifts for us to receive. And tonight, this is the first week, and we're just going to look at who the Holy Spirit is, you know, and what he wants to do, where he wants to live, and all of those things. Martin's already talked about Jesus and how he was baptized, you know, and humble enough, Jesus, you know, humble enough to be baptized, you know, in water, but also to know his need for the power that he needs, you know, from the Father. He needed the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit came to him. And, you know, when we think about the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, you know, it's a funny thing, isn't it? We can think of the Father because, you know, when you think of God the Father, I don't know what you think about, but, you know, you can think of him as creator or he's got authority or he's almighty, you know. You can think of Father like that. And in a sense, it's quite easy. But and when you think of Jesus, you think of him as a person, you know, he's the Son. And it can be easy for us to think of Jesus. But the Holy Spirit, it's like if anybody says, who is the Holy Spirit? It's a bit, oh, well, he's a bit different, really. And, you know, and in the Bible, it talks about, like Martin said in that scripture, how, you know, a voice came from heaven when the dove came down upon Jesus. You are my Son, whom I love, with you I'm well pleased. And how the Holy Spirit can be represented like a dove, gentle and pure. And also in the Bible, it talks about the Holy Spirit being like water at times, and times like he's like fire and he's like wind. You know, this is like kind of expressions of who the Holy Spirit is. And you might think, well, is the Holy Spirit a force? And you might think, well, maybe he is, you know. We can say, come Holy Spirit, move this, move that. But actually, the Holy Spirit tonight wants us to know that he's the person, you know. He's actually the third person of the Trinity, and he's a real person. I was thinking, trying to, you know, help us to understand something of who the Holy Spirit is and you kind of to get hold of him as a person. Just when my mum, when she died, I was with my mum when she died in the hospital. And, you know, lived my life with my mum and all that she is, you know, a physical being and all who she is, everything she did, the way she thought, the way she was, the how she loved, all her emotions and her expressions. This was my mum. And to be with her when she died was quite an awesome experience. And it helped me really, in a sense, to understand who the Holy Spirit is, because my mum was here, you know, in the room, in this body, 1 minute. And then I was aware that she was gone. Literally, she was gone. And it was like, Martin came in, my family, and I said, my mum's gone, you know. And like, a physical body was there. But actually, the person of my mum, a spirit, soul, everything about her was actually gone. And it's like the Holy Spirit, because, you know, the physical body there was like, and it made me realize, like for us, like our physical body really, it's important, but actually carries who we are, you know, and who we are, the person, the spirit and soul, is actually who we really are. And it's like the Holy Spirit. My mum was gone, but a physical body was there, but the person, it's just like the Holy Spirit, you know, he really is a person like that. And he wants us to receive him, you know, to have a relationship with us. And he wants to be personal with us, you know, each one of us. He's not functional, but he wants to have a relationship with us. And I was thinking how, you know, we can have a choice in that. You know, if you think about people you know, different relationships in your own life. You might know somebody, like tonight you might have met somebody for the first time and you might know something about them. You might have learned something about them. Well, that's one level of a relationship. And as you get to know them, you'll find out, you know, how they think, their desires, their loves and their hates. And that's another level of relationship. And if you're married or if you've got children, you know, when you spend time with people for a long time, you sort of learn how they respond. You know what they're thinking. You know what they're going to do. And that's another level of relationship. And for us, it's just to encourage us to desire that level of relationship with the Holy Spirit. You know, that level of relationship where we know him as a person, where we understand how he's, what he's thinking or what he wants us to do, what he's feeling, because the Holy Spirit is grieved, and if you have the Holy Spirit living in you, you can be in certain places or situations where you feel grieved, and it's the Holy Spirit, and that's a wonderful thing, really, because it means that you have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. So I just wanted to encourage us, to be aware that the Holy Spirit is a real person, and he has loves and hates, and he's grieved, and he wants to comfort and strengthen us, but he wants to have that relationship with us and to encourage us to desire that relationship. Years ago, Martin and myself, we were very young. We weren't actually married, but one time we were walking down this road and we had a big decision to make, and we were like chatting about what shall we do? And we didn't know what to do, but we were walking and there was these children playing along the curb. And as we were walking there, these children were like skipping and jumping off the curb. And as we walked past them, this one particular child, it sounds a bit bizarre, but it happened. This little child sang out, "Ask the Holy Spirit." And we went, whoa, And sometimes we can keep going on in life and forget that the Holy Spirit is a person who wants that relationship. And it's like, right? So we did. We said, "Oh, Holy Spirit, you're interested. You want to help us, and he's a person who wants to communicate with us and talk to us. So just to encourage each one of us that God wants his Holy Spirit to have a deep relationship with him, and every day to speak to the Holy Spirit, say, thank you, Holy Spirit. Please guide me. Speak to me. Show me. And give me all the gifts that you want to give." So that's who the Holy Spirit is. He's a person. And the question is, where does the Holy Spirit want to live? Well, it says in John's Gospel, when he was at the well with the woman, the Samaritan woman, he was talking to this woman here, and he said to her, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water, welling up to eternal life." And the Holy Spirit is saying to us that he wants to live in us. That's where he wants to live, in us. I mean, what a privilege that the Holy Spirit actually wants to live in us, and he says, "Are you thirsty? Are you thirsty for God? Are you thirsty for his life?" But this awesome, awesome scripture here, it says, "Whoever drinks the water I will give them will never thirst again. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." So the Holy Spirit will become, it says, a fountain or a spring within us, and he'll stay there. It's not like we'll lose the Holy Spirit, but actually, when you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit becomes that well, that fountain within you, and he stays with you. And all you need to say is, "Thank you, Holy Spirit, fill me afresh, well up within me again." But that's the truth, that well, that fountain, once you've received the gift of the Holy Spirit, that well and that fountain is within each one of us. And there's another scripture, it says here, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. And he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart shall flow rivers of living water." And that's the truth. Once you have the Holy Spirit, and he just bursts forth from your heart. Once your heart's full and you keep asking him to fill you, it's not just for you, it's for others, He wants the Holy Spirit to come forth out of your heart like rivers of living water towards other people who need to know God and need to know his love in the Holy Spirit. And what does the Holy Spirit, what does he want to do? And the scripture here, it says, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And the Holy Spirit, he wants to do many things, but here he actually wants to clothe us with power from on high. And when you think of the disciples, the apostles, waiting. And if you can imagine yourself being clothed, you know, like almost like a garment coming down, and tonight, maybe tonight in the ministry time, if you feel like you need power from God, and we all need power to live the life, you know, to follow Jesus, we need power. And if you can imagine tonight when we're going to have a time of prayer and ministry, if you can imagine like a cloak coming down upon you, like power from on high, because it's the Holy Spirit is the one who gives us the boldness and the courage to do everything he wants us to do, you know. And it's awesome, the scripture where it says, you know, the Holy Spirit convicts, or he convinces the world of righteousness and judgment, you know, because we can often feel, well, we need to tell everybody and tell them. But actually, the awesome thing is that it's the Holy Spirit who convinces people of their need of God. But if we have the Holy Spirit within us, and he wants to give us gifts, many gifts for each one of us, and he wants to be our comforter and encourager and our counselor. And I think tonight as well, if you might have already received the Holy Spirit, but it might be your first time to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, but he wants to give us gifts, many gifts, and the gift of tongues, you know. Personally, I think God wants to give the gift of tongues to every Christian, you know, because the gift of tongues is an awesome gift. You know, it's evidence of the Holy Spirit living in you, and also it strengthens your inner man, you know, and it's a way to pray, a way to worship. So tonight, maybe that's one something that you would like. There's many gifts to ask for, but maybe you could tonight say specifically, Lord, I would like the gift of tongues. Do you want to be strong in your inner man? Because if you've got the gift of tongues, you can use that gift every day to strengthen your own spirit, to pray for others, to worship him. And it's a faith, really, a real faith step, because it's interesting. I was talking to Ruth today, my daughter. She's in the Philippines, and she was talking about how in the Philippines there's a barrier about receiving. They have the gift of the Holy Spirit, but this gift of tongues in the mind, there's a barrier there. And it can be a barrier, you know, in our minds, and think, oh, well, do I have to speak? How does it happen? Does it just come out of my mouth, you know, the gift of tongues? And for me, when I got prayed for to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, it was actually at Ampleforth. And, you know, to be honest, I didn't feel anything. You know, I received prayer to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and they said to me, would you like the gift of tongues? And I said, oh, yes, please. And didn't really know what it was, but, yeah, I'll have that one as well, you know. And so they prayed for me there and then, and I said, thank you, and went away. And a little while after that, me and Martin were talking about, you know, receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit, and he said, and have you got the gift of tongues then? I said, oh, yes. And I thought, well, I haven't spoken a word in tongues, you know. But I thought, no, well, it's by faith. God wants to give me the gift of his Holy Spirit, and he wants to give me the gift of tongues. So, yes, I've got those. And he said, well, go on then, pray in tongues. I said, oh, no, not in front of you. So I said, you go out the room. So he went out, and then, so I just sat there and thought, right, thank you. I just thanked God. I said, thank you, Lord, for the gift of your Holy Spirit. And I thank you, Lord, for the gift of tongues. And actually, we need to speak, you know, we need to speak out. So I thought, right, thank you, Lord, for the gift of tongues. So I just started to speak, just like a baby. And I just said, Koda, Sanda, Kira, Shanda, Koria. And the tongues just came there. And then Martin came in, he said, you've got it. I said, yeah, you know. And it's as easy as that, you know. God wants to give you that gift of the Holy Spirit, every one of us. And you actually, to say, thank you, Lord, and to speak. To start to speak, and it's there, ready to flow. So tonight, if you haven't got the gift of tongues, and you would like to, then receive and speak, because you can have that gift, and you have that gift. To be encouraged to speak out tonight. Okay, and so where does the Holy Spirit want to go? Well, the scripture here is from John's Gospel again, and it says, "The wind blows where he chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." So the Holy Spirit, where does he go? Well, he lives in us, but also he goes wherever he wants, you know, wherever he chooses. And the question is, will we go with him, you know? Because he wants to lead you personally in your own life, and he wants to take you and do things in you. And you have a choice to make whether to go with him. And, you know, in that sense of, you know, if you think about like a boat with the sails, the boat can be going along. But if you put the sails up and there's a wind there, the wind can come and blow those sails and blow that boat and direct that boat and take that boat. And that's like for us, you know. We have a choice whether we want to put our sails up and say, "Right, Lord, here I am, Holy Spirit, lead me, guide me, take me, show me where you want me to go." And it's like, you know, he wants to come to every place in our heart, every place in our lives. It's almost like opening every door or every window in your own life, in your own heart. And it takes courage to, you know, you might think, well, do I really want to let him in there? But to encourage us tonight, that he just wants to do us good, you know, that the Holy Spirit will come. He'll come, you know, in a different way, maybe for you than for somebody else. He might come gently to you. He might come in a powerful way. And he came in a mighty rushing wind, you know. And suddenly a sound came from heaven, like the rush of a mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. I mean, you know, the apostles were sat there. It was probably pretty scary, really, because they were there waiting. Jesus had said to them, you know, "I want you to go and wait. And wait." And I mean, imagine you're waiting there and this mighty rushing wind comes in. And he didn't really warn them about that. But, and he might not warn you about that, but are you willing to allow him to come in, you know, like a mighty rushing wind to blow you, to blow things away, you know, in your heart? And God can do that. He can deal with things softly, gently, but also there's some things he can just blow away like that in an instant, you know. But to encourage us to say, "Lord, if there's things you want to blow away in me tonight, blow them away." Because you'll be better, you know. But the courage is to have the choice to surrender, you know, tonight. Will you surrender to him, the Holy Spirit, and say, "Come into me"? And what does the Holy Spirit, well, what does he want us to know and what does he want us to do? And again, when they were sitting there, it says actually, I think it's quite amazing, this scripture. When the sound came from heaven like a rush of wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared to them tongues as of fire, distributed and resting on each one of them. And this is the Holy Spirit. I think it's amazing how, you know, they were sitting down, you know, because we can think, oh, we have to be doing something to receive the Holy Spirit. We have to be like putting our hands in the air, or we have to be on our knees, or we have to be, you know, whatever people. I mean, and some things, sometimes that's an expression of our heart, putting our hands out or standing up. That can be an expression. But the awesome thing is, all these, the disciples, the apostles, sat in the room. They were sitting down, you know. They were just sitting there waiting, you know. I don't know whether they were, like, expecting at that point. But they were expecting the Holy Spirit to come, and they didn't know when. But actually, they were sitting down when he came. And so, It's awesome that he comes, you know, like that, you know. They're just relaxing and chilling, but the Holy Spirit can come. But they're expecting in their hearts, but actually chilling with it as well. And I think when we think about the tongues of fire, it says that the fire came and separated on each one of their heads, you know. And that's the Holy Spirit. You might think, well, is he interested in me? Does he want a relationship with me? But the Holy Spirit is inclusive, you know. People can be exclusive. You might feel excluded in lots of ways. But actually, God, the Holy Spirit, is an inclusive person. And he wants to include you. Like here, there was a fire, a a tongue of fire on every head, like the Holy Spirit was saying, for you and for you and for you and for every one of us here. He wants to include you, for you to receive his Holy Spirit, to have that relationship. And he wants to settle on you, and he wants to fill you, and he wants to bless you. I'm just going to pray, and I'm going to hand over to Chris, actually, yeah. So, Father, we just thank you that you call us to lift our heads and to meet you. And I pray tonight, Lord, we just thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit, that you are a real person, Holy Spirit, and that you want a relationship with each one of us, and that you include each one of us, that everyone here is included, not excluded, but you include and call each one of us into a relationship with you. And we thank you, Holy Spirit, you know exactly who we are and what we need and how we need it, whether we're sitting down, standing up, that if we are just ready to receive and expecting you to come, that you will come in your way and do the way and what you want to do in us, Lord. So I pray, Lord, for every heart to hear tonight, that we will just be open to you, and that our sails will be up for you, and the windows and doors of our life and our heart will be open to receive you, and to receive everything that you want to do, everything that you want to give, and everywhere that you want to lead. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit is here right now, and he wants to touch your heart as well. So what we're going to do now is we're going to go into some time of ministry. This is your opportunity to receive the Holy Spirit for the first time or for the thousandth time. It doesn't matter, but he is here, and he wants to fill you again afresh. Thank you, Jesus. So what we're going to do now is, can we all please stand up? And I'm going to ask you to do something. To go and fill this room. Go and find a little bit of space of your own. So if you just move out and spread out, so you feel like you're by yourself. And because the ministry team, any second now, is going to come and pray for you, so you could be filled. So, but I just ask you, as you go, that it would be opening up your heart and asking Holy Spirit yourself, please come and fill me. Please come right now. You know, I woke up this morning, I just had this really clear picture in my mind of like these envelopes that have different names on them. And so I prayed, Lord, I asked, Lord, what are these envelopes? And I see inside those envelopes, there were little keys. And I felt like what God was saying is like there is an envelope for you and different names. Your name is on it. And there's a key inside it. And I asked, Lord, please show me those keys. And I saw that every one of those keys was a little bit different. And I just feel like God is saying, you know, he has something for you which is unique for you, that you need, that's perfect for you. And it doesn't work for anybody else, but for your life, your situation, this key is the right one. And he knows what he is sending you. He knows what he's giving to you. And this is the Holy Spirit. He's unique to you, the way he does things into your life. So Holy Spirit, we just ask right now you would come. Speak to every heart, Lord. What is exactly how they need you and why they need you and when and where. Lord, we ask you would come right now in Jesus' name. So the ministry team is going to come and just pray for each person. It's the small group leaders. We ask men to be praying for men and women for women. And some of the team here has some more prophetic words for this evening. So just be listening with one ear and to God with the other ear. So God is speaking and coming now.
Yeah, you know, last week we were praying for this course. We met to pray and I had a picture of barbed wire. And I wasn't sure about it at first, but eventually I knew it was from God. And it meant that I felt they meant that there are some of us here who have areas of our lives that are restricted. You know, barbed wire usually means restricted area. You can't go there. You do everything to stop people from going there. One way is putting up barbed wire fence. And I feel like some of us here have that in our lives. You know, we have areas in our lives where we put up these areas of barbed wire. We don't want to let anyone in. We don't want to let God in. But I feel the Holy Spirit saying tonight that God wants to go in those areas. He wants to remove that barbed wire very carefully from those areas where you've built it up. And he wants to just go there with you. You won't have to go there alone. Maybe there are areas in your life that you've shut off, you've stopped thinking about. But God wants to access those areas with you through the Holy Spirit. Okay.
Yeah, I just got a picture of a bright light, like a spotlight. And I just felt that it was, you know, that God, during this next 12 weeks, is just going to shine his light on all of the darkness, on all of the dark places. And, yeah, just shine the light of Jesus into them and bless you. Thank you.
So if you're a small group leader, Bren, please just start walking around and pray for people, for them to be filled. Thank you, Jesus. We just ask you would come now with the Holy Spirit. Fill every single person here, Lord, again, afresh. Give them everything they need. And just stay in this receiving mode. God has something very significant for you tonight, and he does not want you to miss it. So we're just going to take this little while and just keep praying. So, bless you.